Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Luke 18:1, the parable of the persistent widow.
Good morning. My name's Joel, and I'm the church planting resident here at Movement Church, and I'm excited to be up here this morning. For the last 9 summers of my life, I've worked at a summer camp. I'm like the summer camp guy. And all winter, we would go around and interview people to come and work at our summer camps. I've interviewed hundreds of students over the years. And one of the things that I would look for, in addition to character and ability to work with children, I would look for somebody who could be great in a skit. Because they're few and far between. You've got to have good skit guys if you're going to have a good camp. And so it's just valuable at a camp. So having worked at a camp for 9 summers, I just inevitably ended up in a lot of skits and didn't start out very good. And I think I got a little bit better, but my key to success was that I only had about 3 characters that were good, and I would use them over and over and over. Because if they were good, I was just gonna stick with it. My favorite character of any skit that I was ever in was a guy by the name of Red McGillicuddy. Kilt, sleeveless plaid shirt, full mustache, and mullet. And I just loved being Red McGillicuddy. And the thing about Red McGillicuddy is he would come into some Scottish music, he gets everybody stomping their feet like this, and then all he does is just tell stories. That's it. He just tells stories and people liked it, I guess. I don't know. So I would just use it over and over. I was wondering if I could dip back into my camp roots real quick and tell you a story as Red McGillicuddy. Would that be all right? Could I do that? Hoot and holler for me, please. Thank you. Okay. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna turn around. When I turn around, I'm no longer Joel. I am Red McGillicuddy, and you will picture me in mustache and mullet.
Well, hello there. It's great to see you this morning at Movement Church. I've got the story I'd like to tell you. Just the other day, I was out harvesting my wheat in my wheat field. I was harvesting my grains. And I was looking around, and all of a sudden, my heart just stopped pumping right in my chest. I'm telling the truth. I was having a heart attack. So you know what I did? I took my hand. I reached right down through my throat, and I ripped my heart out. It felt like Satan was driving a lawnmower down my esophagus. And I looked at my heart. If it had eyeballs, I'd have looked right at it. I said, hey, heart, I'm not a real big fan of surprise attacks, so don't you ever attack me again. I shoved it back down. It's been pumping ever since.
I have way more fun doing that than you do listening. I love Red McGillicuddy. I love stories. Many of you guys remember Adventures in Odyssey, cassette tapes, family vacations, master stories told by master storytellers. Some of you love to sit around a campfire and tell stories. And you laugh and you cry and you remember. There's so much power in a story. What makes a great story? Is it the accent it's told in? Is it the details that are described? Or is it the killer punchline? For the next 4 weeks, we're gonna do a new series called Storyteller. And we're going to look at 4 stories told by the master storyteller, Jesus. The religious people of the time would come and they would ask Jesus hard questions. And Jesus would just tell them stories. Many of you guys know these stories as parables. Jesus told 46 parables in the New Testament. It kind of seems like a cop-out. Like they would ask him a hard question and Jesus would tell them a story. But every time the guys would walk away, scratching their heads, going, how deep? I can't shake it. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four stories Jesus told. And what's really amazing about these stories is how fascinatingly relevant they are 2,000 years later. And we're going to read them. And the only question we should be asking ourselves after we read them is essentially, God, what are you trying to say to me today? How does this apply to me today? What are you asking me to do? So today we're gonna look at one parable that Jesus told, and it's in Luke chapter 18. And so if you've got a Bible, there's also one underneath your chair. There's also an iPhone that many of you are familiar with, and there's a screen behind me, and you can follow it any way that you would like to. But I'm gonna read Luke 18, starting in verse 1, and I'm only gonna read about 8 verses because that's the whole story. It's a short one, but it's a good one, and I'm convinced that it could change our lives here in about 25 minutes. I'm gonna start in verse 1, read through verse 8, and then we'll go back and we'll break it down together. Verse 1, one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" When you read a parable of Jesus, there's three questions you have to ask in order to interpret it correctly. The first question you have to ask is pretty simple. It's an observation question. Who are the players? Who are the people, places, and things that Jesus talks about in this story? The second question is, what do they represent? What are those people, places, and things? What do they represent in the story? And in this story, the answers to those two questions are, there's a widow and there's a judge. Those are the players. And what do they represent? Well, I'm gonna tell you that just in a second. But the third question you have to ask is, what's the point? What's Jesus trying to say? In what area of my life is God trying to speak into? Well, this one's really, really easy. What's the point? If you look at verse 1 again, it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. So that's the point. And it's not always that easy when you read a parable, but that's the point. Pray and never give up. Now, I can't assume that everybody in here prays. I can't assume that you feel comfortable doing it. I can't assume that you for sure know what that is. So simply put, prayer is talking with God. Prayer is you speaking to God and God speaking to you. See, God wants a relationship with you, and you realize a relationship doesn't flourish if the two people in a relationship don't communicate with one another. For those that are married, say amen, right? It doesn't work that way, right? Here's the thing about prayer. You don't have to use big words. You don't have to do it for a long time. Sometimes when I talk with my wife, I talk for 30 minutes. Sometimes I talk for 3 seconds. And that's how you can pray to God too. My daughter Cooper is 7 months old. And just recently, she started to communicate a little bit more with us. So this past week, we're sitting there going, "Can you say mama?" You know, "Mom," and I'm just dying for her to say "mama." And look and see what Cooper did just this week. Look at this.
"Hey Cooper, can you say mama?" "Good job, sweet girl."
She communicated with me. Oh, my child. She says, "Mama, mama." And I'm just going, "Tell me more, Cooper. Tell me how you're feeling." Can you say "dad, dad"? You know? And I'm just going, "Tell me more. Communicate to me." That's how God the Father feels about us when we communicate with him. He wants us to pray with him and be in a relationship with him. And some of us feel like if we prayed, it would just sound like, mum, 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 like I'm not sure what to say. And God's heart would just melt at your attempt to communicate with him. In this particular parable, I told you there's a widow and there's an unjust judge. Well, what do they represent? Well, at first glance, you might think, well, the widow's us and we should pray and God is the unjust judge. Well, not so much. It's a little bit different than that. If you look again at verse 6, it says this, "Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?" The unjust judge illustrates a far lesser version of God. And what I mean by that is sometimes parables are told in a lesser to greater comparison. If the lesser thing is true, then oh, how much greater is God than that? So if a human evil judge would give in to a persistent, constant request, what about a gracious, generous, kind God? What about a father that longs to answer and bless his kids? You guys, God is, he's actually eager to answer your prayers. He loves when you pray, when you talk with him, when you just tell him how you feel. He longs to answer you. When you look at this story, if we stopped right now and I said, all right, the band's gonna come up, we're gonna play a song, we're gonna sing, and if you went home and you prayed more than you do, or than you did, then that's a win. That's a huge win. If you go home and you pray more than you did when you came in, that is a win. We've read God's word. It has inspired us to obey. And man, that is a huge win. But I can't shake the idea. Here, I just can't. As I thought about this week, I can't shake the idea that I would be shortchanging you. I would be settling short. Yes, that's a win, but there's a little bit more that you have to know. It's as though I just gave you an instruction manual, but I said, here, just read the first two pages and then give it back. It's like I just gave you Cane's chicken fingers and I said, I'm keeping the sauce. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not letting you in on all the good stuff. What I've just done with you is I've just handed you the fruit snacks on the bottom shelf of the pantry and they're easy to chew and you like it a lot. But I'm just gonna ask us this morning for a few minutes to let's reach up on the top shelf. It might be harder to chew and it might be tougher to swallow, but I'm telling you, you've got to get what I'm about to explain to you. Because yes, let the persistent widow inspire you to pray. But if you forget these two other things I'm about to share with you, you're just not getting the whole picture. Here's the deal. If I'm totally honest, if I'm 100% honest, I and you, most of us, if not all of us, have prayed for something and nothing happened. We prayed with all of our hearts and nothing happened. You prayed for a promotion, you got fired. You prayed to pass a test and you failed. You prayed for somebody who was sick and they died. You prayed for your marriage, it didn't last. You prayed to have a baby and you can't get pregnant. Most of us, if not all of us, have prayed for something at some point and nothing happened. And it's hard to admit, but we all think it. And I'm up here and I have the microphone, so I'll say it. I don't feel like prayer works every time. I don't feel like it's a foolproof method. It feels like I should pray and do something else. And if we think we're alone, we're crazy, because if you look at this thing, there's a whole bunch of people in here that feel exactly how we do. If you look at a guy by the name of David in this Bible, he's the guy that wrote most of the 150 Psalms in the middle of your Bible. The Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. So he's essentially the godliest guy in the Bible other than Jesus. And about half of the Psalms that he wrote, He's saying, how long, O Lord, are you going to forget me? How long will you turn your face from me? Hear my prayer, please, God. He feels like we do. Sometimes we cry out and it doesn't seem like God is answering our prayers. So here's what I need you to know. There's two things I need you to know. The first one is this. A yes answer isn't always the best answer, okay? And this might seem middle shelf-ish, but you gotta hear me out here. A yes answer isn't always the best answer. If you're looking for someone to just give you what you want when you ask for it, you should go watch Aladdin, because that's a genie. And we have a father, God the Father, who loves us so much that he actually has three different answers to our prayers. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. Sometimes God will say yes. You will pray for something and God will grant the request. When Cooper gets a little bit older and she says, Dad, can we go to Chipotle? Yes, always. I will bless you, my child. Let's go. But Dad, guacamole is $1.25 extra. It doesn't matter. I will bless you with the burrito. I will say yes to that request as a loving father. Sometimes God will say no. Sometimes you've experienced a no. Do you remember the person that you dated in junior high or high school? And you prayed, God, please let me marry them. And you look at their Facebook now, and you sing worship songs, praising God that he spared you. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And at every second, he's pulling a billion strings that makes this whole thing go. In 1 Corinthians, it says this, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Listen, all that I know now is partial and incomplete. All that we know now is partial and incomplete. But then, one day, I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. We will see how all of this works one day. Sometimes you look back on your life and you go, thank you, God, now I get it. And sometimes you will get a no and you will go to your grave wondering why. But let me ask you this question. Should every pilot at the airport get to pick and choose when they want to take off? Or should they take their cues from the air traffic control tower who sees the whole picture? You follow me there? Should every pilot get to pick and choose when they go? Or should they take their cues from someone who can see the whole thing? And the third thing God will say is God will say, wait. If you have kids and it's 10 degrees outside and they say, Mommy, Daddy, can we go do the slip and slide? You would say, as a loving parent, wait. In a couple months, yes, but wait. A lot of times, the reason God wants us to pray is not so that we can get what we want, but it's so that he can mold us and change us. When you talk to God, it's going to change you, period, right? When you talk with God, it will change you. A lot of times, you'll pray for something over and over and over and over, and at the end, you won't get it, but you will realize that what you prayed for was stupid and that God now has you focused on far more important things. God will say yes, God will say no, and God will say wait. And just because you don't get a yes doesn't mean he didn't answer your prayers. Here's the second thing you need to know. And this is the one that's really gonna tick off your Sunday school teacher. This is the one where you look at me like this after I say it, but then you give me a few minutes to explain what I mean and you'll understand. God doesn't hear all of your prayers. What? What did he just say? God doesn't hear all of your prayers. That's exactly what I mean. There are so many times in the Bible where it says that God will turn his face, says that he turns his ear, It says that he ignores prayers. It says that prayers are hindered over and over and over in the Bible. It says that God does that. Let me just give you a few examples. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says this: "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call, but it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore." Psalm 66, this is David, the guy I was talking about earlier. "For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer." And the last one, Deuteronomy 1, 43 to 45, listen to this. "This is what I told you, but you would not listen. Instead, you again rebelled against the Lord's command and arrogantly went into the hill country to fight. But the Amorites who lived there came out against you like a swarm of bees. They chased and battered you all the way from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord." And listen, he refused to listen. And there are more. Imagine a PVC pipe from you to God. We'll call it the prayer pipe. And it's how you communicate with God, and it's how God communicates with you. When you have sin in your life, it's as though you've taken a big chunk of mud and shoved it up into the pipe. When you don't confess your sins to God, it's like you're taking a rock and shoving it in the pipe and hindering those prayers. When you live arrogantly and when you live rebelliously against God, it's as though the whole pipe gets clogged up and prayers are hindered and God says, And at this point, it's a little discouraging for me because I'm going, I am such a sinner. I mean, I am such a sinner. I do stuff wrong all the time. Most of the time I know what it is, and some of the time I don't even know what it is. And we would all raise our hands if I said, who's done anything wrong? Everybody would go, we have. And so where's the hope? How do we ever get our prayers heard? And the answer is yes. And this is how it works, okay? This is how it works. Follow me here. In James 5, it says this: "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." And I read that and I go, "What? I just told everybody I'm actually not righteous. The prayers of a righteous person have great power." Well, I'm not. I'm a sinner. That's not the way Jesus works. See, Jesus lived a perfect life, and despite my unrighteousness, because Jesus was righteous, if I believe in Jesus, then the righteousness of Christ comes on me, and God doesn't see me as a sinner anymore. He sees me as his child. The one that he wants to talk to him. And so sometimes when I pray, I literally just start out and I go, God, please, just before I even say anything else, would you please forgive me for my sins? Would you wash me away? All the things that I did that I know of and all the things that I don't even know I did, God, would you forgive me for my sins and hear my prayer? And it's as though God takes a big fire hose and puts it in the top of the PVC pipe and washes the whole thing out. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from unrighteousness. But if we approach God as though he owes us something, it just doesn't work that way. But my Bible says that if I come before God with a humble heart, that pipe opens up and God can hear me and I can hear God. So pray persistently, like the widow. That's a win. If you go home today and pray more than you did when you came in, that's a win. But trust God with the answer. He loves you so much that sometimes he says no and wait, and sometimes he says yes. And last but not least, come before God with a humble heart so that he might hear your prayer. Here's the big idea. You've got a good father that loves to answer your prayers. In Matthew chapter 7, there's a kid and there's a dad. And in Matthew 7, the kid walks up to the dad and says, "Hey dad, can I have some bread?" And the dad wouldn't give him a stone. The dad would give him bread. And then he says, "Dad, can I have some fish?" And the dad the dad wouldn't give him a snake. The dad would give him a fish, a fish. And then Jesus says, and that's an earthly, evil human man. Just imagine God, a perfect, godly father. Imagine how much more he wants to bless his kids. I'm convinced we'll get to heaven, we'll walk around, and we'll see all these warehouses. And we'll look at him and say, hey, God, what are those? And he'll say, those are all the things I wanted to give you, but you never asked for them. I wanted to give you all this, and you never even asked for it. I long to answer your prayers. When I was a freshman in high school, I lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And there's a church there that puts on this big event called The Thorn. And The Thorn is this, it's a play. It runs for like a month. It seems like everybody in the whole city goes to this thing. It's just a massive production. And I went in and I sat down. I watched The Thorn, and the pastor comes up at the end to give the 10-minute recap message. And he gave everybody a note card. And he said, write down the name of the person that comes to mind when I say, who of your friends doesn't know Jesus? And then I want you to start to pray for them. So I took my note card and I wrote the name Conrad Taylor. Conrad Taylor was a teammate of mine. He was an All-American soccer goalie. He was a 4.0 student. He married his high school sweetheart. He went to Penn State on a full ride and was all Big Ten for like 4 years. I mean, this guy in the world's eyes had it all, and he did not love God. In fact, he was an atheist. One time I specifically remember Conrad got into my car. We're driving home from practice, and I turned on Switchfoot, who rocked, by the way. And Conrad said, this is pretty good. I said, yeah, it's Switchfoot, hello. And and he said, is it a Christian band? And I said, yeah. And he reached down and he turned it off. He wanted nothing to do with God. Now, I'm not gonna pretend that for the next however many years, I prayed for Conrad every day. But anytime anybody asked me the question, who do you know that doesn't know Jesus that we should pray for? I would think of Conrad and I would pray for him. Well, 8 years later, I went to this Bible Institute where I learned how to share my faith. I learned how to engage someone in a gospel conversation, and Conrad comes to mind again. So I sit down on my computer and I Facebook message him. I hadn't talked to him in years. And I said, Conrad, where are you? He said, I'm in St. Louis. And I literally just so happened to be going through St. Louis 2 weeks from that message that I wrote him. And so I sat down and I did what, of course, I should do. I said, do you want to get Chipotle? He said, yes. So the date was set. I was gonna go and we were gonna sit down and I was gonna share the gospel with Conrad. I had like 100 people praying for this meeting at noon. I'm gonna tell Conrad about Jesus and he's gonna accept Jesus. And I go in and I try to engage him in a gospel conversation. We start talking about how the world is just going crazy and we need help and we're sinners. And then nothing else happened. Nothing changed. See, man, and I got in my car and I didn't even want to text the people that were praying because I was so bummed. And I kept my note card. I literally kept my note card. And I was like, I remember the persistent widow and I'm like, I'm going to keep praying for this guy. And so I started to run marathons and every training run, I would pray for Conrad. I put his name on my phone as the background. Every time I opened my phone, yep, we used to open them. I would pray for Conrad. I think I prayed 1,000 times for Conrad every day. People would honestly felt bad for me because of how far Conrad was from God, and they thought I would pray forever and he would never come to know Jesus. And on April 7th, 2011, 2 years after my conversation with Conrad at Chipotle, I got on Facebook, and on his wall, it said, Conrad, welcome to the family. Conrad, happy new birthday. I'm rejoicing with angels in heaven. Conrad, watching you get baptized on Sunday was the highlight of my week. What? Conrad, he had given his life to Jesus. I wasn't even there. He had given his life to Jesus, and one day Conrad and I will be in heaven forever together because Conrad gave his life to Jesus. And I'm not gonna stand up here and just with the audacity say he wouldn't be a Christian if I didn't pray, but I will say this, prayer changes things and prayer illuminates our eyes to what God is doing around us. He invites us into what he's doing when we pray. What prayer requests do you have? Oh, by the way, I called him on Wednesday. This week, I haven't talked to him in years. And it's like that conversation where you're like, I hope he's still following Jesus because this is a good story. And and I called him and I said, hey, dude, I've got a crazy question, but are you still in love with Jesus? And he said, I'm on my way to Bible study right now. We go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and we have Bible study on Wednesday night, and I'm just going, praise God that he did that. And when I tell that story, when I remember that story, how can I not pray? And I just want to ask you, are there any requests on the table for you that you have shelved right now? Are there any impossible requests that you have just tucked away for the time being? Or maybe there's something you want to start praying, but you're scared it won't happen, so you don't even risk it. I just want to say, pray about it, because you've got a good Father who loves to answer your prayers. Persistently pray, trust the answer, and confess your sins so that he will hear you. I'm going to give you a minute right now to take that request off the shelf and offer it to the Lord, and then I'll pray after about a minute. Go ahead, just spend a minute and pray. Come before you, and I am so sorry. God, I need you to forgive my sins. Every sin that I know I did and every sin that I don't even know I did, God, would you forgive me and hear my prayer? Father, I just want to pray this morning for Cameron Brown. I want to pray, God, that you would rescue him, that he would know that he needs you. I want to pray for whatever it takes, God, that one day Cameron would have a personal relationship with you, and I believe it, and I commit to pray for this persistently because I know you long to answer my prayers. God, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.